Holiday. And it is great to see everyone today. If you would turn with me once again to the book of Revelation chapter 3. You might be wondering, you might be asking, Pastor Randy, are we going to talk about the Holy Spirit today? And the answer is yes. Are we also going to be talking about the messages to the churches in Asia Minor from the book of Revelation chapter 3? The answer to that is also yes. As many of you know, we've been going through Revelation 2 and 3 and looking at what Jesus is saying to the church. And today, we are seeing, or we're going to see, that Jesus is the one who provides for us the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. If you would, you have turned to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read it together. To the angel in the church of Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we glorify and praise your name. And thank you, Lord, first and foremost, for sending Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins. Dear God, as we look to your holy word today, we ask, dear God, that you would speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. That you would give, Lord, words to this speaker. And that you would give ears to every hearer here. That we might walk in the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. And we ask these things this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I have enjoyed thoroughly looking through these seven messages. I believe we're on the fifth church, the church in Sardis. But I have enjoyed thoroughly looking at what these messages of Jesus to these seven churches say to us. And one of the things, one of the aspects of these messages that we've been learning about as we've looked at them is that each message gives us a deeper insight or a greater revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. When we looked at the Church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, we saw that Jesus is both present and engaged with his church. He's not far away someplace doing his own thing while we're doing our own thing. He's with us. And we thank God for that. And I'm just going to remove my jacket. It is a little warm up here this morning. We saw at the church in Smyrna that Jesus Christ is Lord over death, hell, and the grave. I thank God. And some of you this weekend might be visiting the tombs and the graves of your loved ones. But if they know Jesus, that's not the end. In fact, someday that tomb or that grave is going to open and they're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. And if you and I are alive at that time, we're going to join them with Jesus. And we look forward to that day. And Jesus wants us to know that and to live in that. We saw at the Church of Pergamum that Jesus is the one who wields the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is something that pierces deeply to our heart and brings about change and healing as nothing else can do, no power on earth can do, no man or woman can do, no program could do, if you would. But it's also a powerful and effective weapon against the enemy. And then as we looked at the church in Thyatira, we see that Jesus Christ is the judge of all the earth. But today on this Pentecost Sunday, we see Jesus as the one who gives, who has provided for us the Holy Spirit. As we read in our text, he is the one who holds the Holy Spirit in his hands. It is because of Jesus Christ that we have the Holy Spirit. And we must never forget the importance of Jesus as far as the privilege that you and I have in not only knowing that the Holy Spirit is here, but having the Holy Spirit moving and working powerfully in our lives. We read about this in several scriptures, the first of which is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says to his disciples, both back then but also today, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And then two chapters later in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 7, "I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So today, as we celebrate the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which was a life-changing, world-changing event, we need to be mindful it is because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did on Calvary that we can live and move and have our being in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's take some time this morning and let's remind ourselves of how the Holy Spirit impacts our lives. And of course, the first thing we think of is that initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Reading verses 1 through 4, we see that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Prior to this, the disciples, 10 days, had been in a place called the upper room, praying and seeking God for power to come from on high upon their lives. Jesus had ascended 10 days prior, and they were alone. And they knew that in and of themselves, they could not do what Jesus commanded them to do, which was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But on that 10th day, after they had been praying for 10 days, the Holy Spirit came and came in power. And when the Holy Spirit came, he didn't just come upon those, it wasn't just the 12, it was actually 120 people in that upper room. Must have been a pretty good sized room, probably this size. Just didn't come upon them so that they could speak in tongues and be blessed. It moved upon the whole city. In fact, this is Peter's explanation of what was happening on that day. In verses 14 through 17 in Acts 2, Peter stood up with the 11. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Couple things about that as we reflect on Pentecost Sunday, which isn't just something that we should think about or experience one day of the year. This is something that we should live out in our lives every day as we serve Jesus Christ our Savior. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Good. I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad you're with me. Praise God. It wasn't just for the 120. They were the ones who were seeking and got that initial outpouring. The tongues of fire on their head, you know, and that's all wonderful. But it was really the work on the inside that was spectacular. But it flowed out of them to everyone who heard their voice. The Bible telling us in the book of Acts chapter 2 that 3,000, can you imagine that, in what after one sermon, 3,000 people coming to know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. In fact, reading verse 17 again just emphasizes the point that the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the few, but not only for the many, but for the all. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, whatever nationality you are, the Holy Spirit is for you. What the Holy Spirit did in the disciples, the Holy Spirit will do or is doing in your life if you open up your heart to Him. In Acts chapter 2, and I won't read it in its entirety this morning, but there were spectacular results, if I could use that term, of the Holy Spirit working and moving in not only the apostles, but upon all who were there, all who were open. There were those supernatural signs that we talked about, the tongues of fire, the speaking in other languages, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. There was also boldness and courage. Peter, who could not stand up to a little girl, boldly, despite the threat that was around him of the scribes and the Pharisees who crucified Christ. Despite their presence, he boldly proclaimed Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and salvation being only through him. He had understanding and discernment. And don't we need discernment and understanding in the day and age that we live? With everything going on, if you didn't have a faith in God, I wouldn't want to live. Not only without knowing Jesus, without understanding or discerning the times. You see, Peter, when the Holy Ghost fell, it all made sense to him. He said, this is it. This is what Joel was writing about hundreds of years ago. It's the outpouring of God's Spirit. It made sense. That's one of the most important ministries of the Holy Spirit. To give you understanding and discernment regarding the times. Listen, my friend, if you look at what's going on in the world, the moral decline in our society, the godlessness in our society, how our society is becoming pagan. It's turning its back on Jesus. Looking at what's happening in the Middle East with Islamic State. And corruption still about. You know, on and on we could go with just the horrors and the evil and the wickedness that's in the world today. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know that these things must come to pass, and other scriptures come to life that remind you that Jesus is still on the throne. And His will and His word will surely come to pass. And of course, there was the anointing of God upon those men, where God manifested through healings, the power of God manifested through healings, through deliverance from evil spirits, and above all, for salvation. And if this was the entirety of my message this morning, it would be enough. Amen? But I believe that our text this morning reminds us, and some of you might say, I want that to be the case. But what our text tells us this morning from the book of Revelation chapter 3 is the impact of the Holy Spirit is that, but it is also so much more. And I'd like to take time to talk about that this morning. Once again, our text from Revelation chapter 3. It's very interesting how the Bible here describes the Holy Spirit. When we think of God, of course we believe in the Trinity, the Godhead of being the one God manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But interesting, when John sees this vision of Jesus, and when Jesus himself is speaking to the church at Sardis, he says, I am the one who holds the seven spirits of God. Now, why seven? I don't know if you ever read that and wondered about that. I know I certainly have. In fact, there are some people who feel that there are not, God is not the 3-in-1, God is the 9-in-1, and feel there are, just as there are 3 persons in the one God, instead of there being 3 persons, there are 7 persons, or 9 persons, 7 of which are 7 different or 7 unique persons within the one God. That's not what that's saying here. There is only one Spirit. We're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's what the Word of God says. So why is there this image of 7 spirits? Well, you got to remember, when we look at the book of Revelation, especially in this vision of Jesus, and you know, God teaches us in so many ways. He teaches us through plain speaking, but He also teaches us through illustrations and through visions. And when it talks about 7 spirits, it's not talking there's 7 different Holy Spirits. It's just talking about the 7-fold ministry of the Holy Spirit, that what the Holy Spirit does is not limited to power, even though power is a very important part of how He ministers to those who know Him. We know this to be true just by looking at these different letters. You know, we've taken them one at a time, you know, 7 different letters to the, you know, church at Ephesus and Pergamum and Thyatira and so on and so forth. But what does Jesus Christ say at the end of each letter? In verse 6 of Revelation 3, He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He didn't just say, "This message I have for Ephesus is just for Ephesus." It's also for Smyrna and Pergamum and Sardis and Thyatira, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea, and I'm not sure if I left one out, but each one, because all their issues were the same. And if they weren't, if Ephesus wasn't dealing with the issues in Pergamum, after an amount of time, it surely would have. This was one message to 7 churches, although it had 7 parts. And also, each message says essentially the same thing. There's a unified theme. As we've discussed over and over, each one has a greater revelation of who Jesus is. Each one encourages the church to good works. And each one promises or gives eternal promises to those who are overcomers. So when Jesus says, "I have the 7 spirits of God," He's not saying there's 7 different spirits. But what He's saying is there's one Spirit, but who does many things in your life. And it's important we know that. Because one of the failings of being Pentecostal, we like to think that, you know, because we're Pentecostal, we've got it all. One of the failings is sometimes we put the Holy Spirit in a box. And we only think of the Holy Spirit as giving us power to do, which He does. But He does so much more than that. That the Holy Spirit, God wants to touch every area of your life by His Spirit. His anointing wants to touch every aspect of your life. There's a reason why I'm raising my voice. It's because God wants you to know this. We read about this, and actually I did a series of messages on this back in the fall of 2013. So I won't spend a whole lot of time, but it does bear repeating. We read about the multitude or the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Reading from verse 1, the Bible says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Holy Spirit, did not Jesus say, and I believe the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 2, as he opened up the scriptures and turned to the book of Isaiah chapter 63, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 11 to do many things. Seven things specifically. We've already put them all up on their map. We've already talked about power. But there's so much more that the Holy Spirit does. He is one who gives wisdom. How many need help in navigating the problems and the challenges of life? I know I do. But I am thankful there's a rock who is higher than I that I can go to. And that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not taking anything away from the Scriptures, because this is the sword of the Spirit. But the Bible tells us the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. We need the Holy Spirit to make this word real to us in Jesus' name. And give us the wisdom to deal with all the situations that we have in life. That's why the Holy Spirit has come, to give you and I wisdom. What we should do. He's come to give us understanding or discernment. We've talked about that already. You can rest assured. And let me just say this. Sometimes the understanding that God gives us regarding a situation or the times that we're in is just, don't worry. I got it under control. And sometimes that's all we need to know. Sometimes you want to know more. God just says, don't worry about it. Just trust me and worship me. Helps us live in faith. Counsel, guidance, and direction in life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Not only does God have a plan for you, but his Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in that plan. Knowledge of the word and the will of God. Knowledge of the things that are going on in the world around us. Some people might mean evil against you, but the Lord, and they might do a real good job naturally as far as keeping that from you. But there's one who is a revealer of secrets and knows what is spoken in secret and can protect you, but also can let you know. Praise God. Thank God for the gift of knowledge. Fear of the Lord, the holiness and reverence that's necessary for wisdom. But holiness is also something that's beautiful. And then, not listed in the first three verses, but mentioned both in verse 4 and verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 11, righteousness. It is a desire, or should be, for every person who knows Jesus to live righteously before him. That's something that God puts in us. Actually, even before we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we want to repent or turn from our sins and turn to Jesus. But everyone who lives for Jesus at some point struggles with some type of sin. And there's multiple verses that speak to that. I believe in 1 John, John says, if we say we have no sin, we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. And I know by experience, but also sharing with people, there are many people who struggle with sin many, many years, and because of that, there's always a cloud of condemnation over them. And one reason that people do kind of live under that cloud and live under that bondage of sin is because instead of looking to the Holy Spirit and His power to overcome that sin, we try to look in and of ourselves. I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to make a resolution. I'm going to make some changes in my life. And that's the failure. It's all focused on you. You couldn't master your sin before you came to Christ. What makes you think you can master it after without the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's why He's come. To empower you to live above sin so it no longer has bondage or authority over you in Jesus' precious name. And all these things, because Jesus Christ died, rose again, went to the Father and asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, are things that we have for our lives if we ask. Thinking of wisdom, just by way of one example, if any, the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, he should what? Which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He should ask of God, who gives to all men what? Stingily? Smallly? Or liberally? Gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So, we look at these things individually, but the general theme that both Jesus is giving us in this vision where He's holding the seven spirits of God and also using the book of Isaiah chapter 11 to help us understand that, is that the Holy Spirit is not limited to empowerment, but He wants to touch every aspect of our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to move in your life, not only in preaching and teaching or prayer or worship, but making decisions, overcoming sin, doing all the different things, what you're to do with your life. And not everyone's called to full-time ministry, but whatever you're called to do, God's calling is there for you, and the Holy Spirit wants to be with you and empower you and influence your life. And there's a reason. There's actually three reasons why the Holy Spirit isn't just someone who empowers us, but who influences, or desires at least, to influence every aspect of our lives. Number one, that He might be glorified. If I do anything in my own power and strength, who gets the glory? But if what I do, no matter what it is, whether it's preaching and teaching or whether it's just trying to be a good husband or a good father or whatever, a friend, if I do it under the dependence and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is God who receives the glory. Because if you're operating under the anointing, people see it. They know God is moving and working in your life. The Spirit bears witness with their spirits. He wants to touch every aspect of our lives for His glory, but also for our joy. Hallelujah. And I think the biggest way that when we depend wholly upon the Holy Spirit to influence and empower every aspect of our lives, the biggest way that brings joy is it just makes everything so much easier. It's hard to do things by yourself and to do everything all the time. You ever have a job like that? Just do everything and do it all the time? No break. But when we depend upon the Holy Spirit, it's Him doing it through us. Gives us rest and peace. And it's just one more thing that adds to our joy in serving Jesus. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit wants to touch every aspect of our lives for our witness. You know, people won't be drawn to you, or drawn to the gospel, I should say, if you're super smart. Or you can can speak well or you're talented in singing or music or teaching or that type of thing. Won't be drawn to that at all. They won't be drawn to you if you just have your life together by yourself. Because they'll just think, wow, that's a special person. I wish I was like them. But when you, as a person who is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is shining through you, and your life is blessed because of what He's doing, people can not only say, wow, that person is blessed, they'll say, I can be blessed too. If I know Jesus, and I have Jesus working in my life. See, it's important we be dependent upon the Holy Spirit, not just for ourselves, but for others, so that they can tangibly see what knowing Jesus is all about. Which leads us to almost my final point. We as God's people need to be heavily dependent, if not desperate, for the Holy Spirit. Why do we not see God move? And I'm not accusing anyone this morning, but let me say this, and I say this from experience. I hope your mindset isn't, I'm going to come to church today, or, you know, not just today, any other day. And I hope something happens. I hope God does something in my life. And, I can understand that and appreciate that. But I think too often we just try to wait and see if God will do anything without actually pursuing God and be dependent upon God for our lives. For everything in our lives, I hope God does some kind of breakthrough in my family, or breakthrough in my personal life, or breakthrough in my ministry life. Instead of calling out to God and asking God to send His Holy Spirit upon my family, upon my finances, upon my decisions, do you every morning ask God to help you in everything you do in the day that's before you? When you come up to a problem, before you do anything, do you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to give you the wisdom, the power, the strength, the courage, the understanding, the discernment, the ability to deal with it? Or do you wrestle with the day or the things of the day by yourself? And I must confess, I don't always seek God. I'm not always as dependent upon the Holy Spirit as I should be. But if we're going to see the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to be whole, not just more dependent upon the Holy Spirit, we need to be wholly dependent upon the Spirit of God moving and working through us. We've got to be desperate. Every day. I alluded to this last week. You know, sometimes we're only like that when we have no other option. You get a report, cancer, and you only got 6 months to live. Or, and I think the illustration I used last week, you know, the first time you preach or teach, you know, or do some kind of spiritual ministry, you know, you know you can't do it, and so you pray and you study, and you just want so much of God. We fall back into the old ways and just try to handle things ourselves. We can't do that if we're going to truly be a spiritually alive church. We need to be wholly dependent upon the Holy Spirit every day for everything. I'd like to ask our musicians to come and to play just softly. We're going to sing a song in closing this morning about Jesus. And we've sung some beautiful songs about the Holy Spirit. But I want to give you a key as far as having the Holy Spirit moving and working in your life. And what that key is, and what's brought out in our text this morning, Revelation chapter 3, 1, is not really seeking for the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit, you need to seek the one who holds the seven spirits of God in His hand, and that's Jesus. Because what the Bible teaches us is that the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. In fact, you know, very quickly, we read in John chapter 5 that the Father has given everything to Jesus. In fact, this is a good portion of Scripture for if you ever encounter Jehovah Witness or Mormons or people who deny the divinity of Jesus. Verse 21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. You see, when the Heavenly Father, when God, who loved the world so much, when He sent His Son, He gave His Son everything. All power, all authority has been given unto Him. And if we want anything, our attention is to be focused on Him. And when we honor Jesus, we honor the Father, the one God. But when Jesus left and told them that the Holy Spirit was coming, the Comforter was coming, He didn't say, okay, now focus on Him. He said, your attention is still going to be on Me because His ministry is all going to be about Me. In John 15, 26, Jesus said regarding the ministry of the Spirit, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. In John 16, 13, and 14, the Bible says that He will not, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will not speak His own. Verse 14, He will bring glory to Me. Revelation 19, 10. Last part of that scripture, for this testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everything is about Jesus. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's not about healings. It's not about miracles. It's not about signs and wonders. Those things do come, but they come to those who follow and serve Jesus. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day, the solution to that is very simple. Let your life be all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Who we learn more through His Word and ask the Holy Spirit, ask God to reveal to you who He is, what He has done, what His plans are. Are for you, both in the present, in the near future, and of course the eternal future. It's Jesus. You know, let not your hearts be troubled, John 14 says. It's Jesus who has gone and He's preparing a place for us and is coming back. Before we formally close, let's stand and let's sing that chorus on this Pentecost Sunday. We're reminding ourselves of the influence of the Holy Spirit upon every aspect of our lives. That to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, is to focus on Jesus. Let's sing that together in Jesus' name.